You've got me now. We're blessed, aren't we?
We are.
Right, what I'm going to say, mate, just bide with me, because some of you might have heard it all before, but I don't know, I just realise that more and more we need to come back to the basics of the truth. And I'm just going to really go over about the truth in this session, mainly for yourselves as leaders, because it's very important as being in leadership that we keep ourselves in the truth, you know, because it's difficult to stand up and lead people when you're feeling in the pit. Mm. So it's very important that us as leaders keep ourselves firm in Christ. So I've labelled this session, Stand Firm in Christ, okay? Because as you've heard, worship is very praise, but leading on to worship is a very important part of a Christian's life. And obviously then, it's under much satanic attack because of this. Satan doesn't want us to worship God. You know, he wants us to set our attention on him and not God. So we've got to be on our guard at all times. We've got to be self-controlled and alert, as the scriptures say. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So resist him, standing firm in the faith. So we've got to be on our guard, alert and perceptive, in order that we may avoid spiritual attack and recognise it quickly when it comes. Does anybody never get an attack before they have to stand up and lead worship? Anyone victorious enough to resist? No? You're going to get a bit of testimony from me this session because, you know, like Jared, I don't want to be a worship leader. I never wanted to be a worship leader. I was a singer, you know, and when the Lord saved me from singing in the pubs, I thought, well, I'll sing for the Lord. That's great. I'll sing nice songs to people and encourage them and build them up. And then suddenly you find yourself one day leading worship and a group of sort of miserable-looking people looking at you and trying to get them encouraged and with their faces set to the Lord and not to themselves. It's not an easy job. But we got the Lord in us and... you know, if we're diligent to build ourselves up in the truth, then we're going to get through and be victorious. So what I'm saying might go over a little bit what Jared's already mentioned, but it's good to get it in, isn't it? You know, so even if this weekend we're covering ground, just accept it, because I think the Lord's obviously trying to get a message through. It's better to learn a couple of things well than loads of things and forget about it as soon as you've gone away. So... as you've heard, praise is not just a matter of singing songs to warm up the people before the word. You know, it's not a sing-song session to think, oh, this is nice here. It's really got something important in it, about it. It's a time when we as individuals and as a body collectively declare the goodness of God, when we tell of his faithfulness, when we declare who he is and what he has done for us. It's a time when we need to take our eyes off ourselves and fix them on things above. Now, this is for us personally, I'm talking as worship leaders, okay? Because it's only what you've got that you can share with other people. And as we do this, we will be drawn into his presence, and then the true worship will just overflow from our spirits, as you know, as we just get our faces towards him. Scripture tells us to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. You know, our lives are to be continually praising God in the way that we live. And often, I don't know about you, but often it feels like a sacrifice for me to get up and stand and praise the Lord. You know, on occasions your flesh just doesn't want to praise the Lord, does it? Let's face it, 8:30 in the morning when we have our worship times, I just feel like a dead dodo most of the time, you know. But I've got to sort of stand there and lead others and look like I'm awake and look like I'm enthusiastic about life. You know, it's just as Jared was saying, you need to you don't want to put an act on, but you need to just stand in the truth, you know. The truth is, the facts are, I'm tired, but the truth is that he renews my strength. You know, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles, you know. That's the truth, and that's what we've got to stand on at those times when we feel weak. Yeah, and, you know, as you've heard earlier, the congregations, you know, sometimes just don't want to worship. They want to stand and sing the nice soft songs because it doesn't take any effort and it doesn't take any sacrifice. But it's those times that the word says to rejoice in the Lord always, you know, to rejoice, sing and dance and give us a sacrifice really means that it costs you something. You know, Jesus went to the cross, that was a sacrifice for us, and that cost him everything. And in the same way, sometimes our praise is a sacrifice when we're sometimes feeling ill even, you know. But the Lord says, rejoice in the Lord always, at all occasions, at all times. Right, and I've put here, many times as worship leaders, you may not feel like standing in front of a church full of people. You may have had a bad day. You may be feeling under the weather physically. That happens quite a lot with me. You may feel spiritually dry and feel you've got nothing to give. You may not have had, in your opinion, an adequate amount of prayer and preparation. And so you feel totally inadequate to bring the people into the Lord's presence. Anyone ever feel like that? I do. All of those things I get attacked with lots of the time. Notice how many times I've mentioned the word feel. We have a picture on our wall at home, actually, that's really good. And it says, our faith does not rest in our feelings, but it rests in the unshakable character of Christ. Okay, so that's what we need to rest on, the unshakable character of Christ, and not in our feelings. We've got to learn to set our feelings aside, as Jared mentioned earlier, and not to take any notice of them at times. It's very difficult, isn't it? Because we've all grown up, you know, before we were born again. You go very much by your feelings, how you feel. And in this world, you're sort of said, oh, if it feels good, do it. But that's totally against what God says and what he wants us to be like. And I've put as well, in all these instances, the enemy would be seeking to pull you down, to bring you into condemnation as the leader, into negativity. Oh, that's something I've really had trouble with recently. To rob you of your joy and fruitfulness. There have been many times when, just before meeting, I've had a terrible attack. I mean, lots and lots of times. I'm getting over it much quicker nowadays because I'm learning to walk in the truth. I've let the enemy lie and accuse me, tell me that I'm not worth being, you know, how can I be a leader up there when I've not had 3 hours prayer time? Or even sometimes, you know, as Jared said, at Rothy, we have to lead every morning at 8:30, and sometimes 3 times a day if this conference is on. And sometimes you just haven't physically got time to spend hours with the Lord preparing, you know. Sometimes you've got to be in the meeting and Colin Urquhart will say, right, let's have a time of worship. And like, you've just got to be prepared there and then. So I guess you mustn't rely on what you can do. Do you know what I mean? In how much preparation you put in. Because in a way you can rely on your own strength instead of saying, I'm relying on God. And I know when I first started leading worship, you know, I'd lead maybe once every 3 weeks in the church because it was like on a rota basis. And like I'd spend the whole night, the whole Saturday night before in a cold sweat, you know, on the bed thinking, what am I going to do, Lord? And flicking through my songs thinking, oh no, I don't fancy that. Oh Lord. And like the whole night would be spent preparing. And in a way I was doing that in my own strength instead of just, I mean, it comes with experience as well, because the more and more that you lead, you get more used to what songs flow together well. But I was certainly, I think, just doing it in my own strength at the beginning. We just need to, obviously we have to put our preparation in spiritually and be right with the Lord. But you have to have the right balance, you know, to trust in him as well. Not to rely on how much prayer time you've put in. Do you know, I've got that straight, you know, I'm not very good at expressing myself sometimes. But the Lord's using my weakness. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I was giving you a bit of a testimony here. You know, the enemy sometimes has called me a hypocrite because I haven't had a very long quiet time before the actual service. I mean, sometimes I'd be standing just before the meeting starting. We have a prayer meeting before the service at Rothy, like an hour prayer meeting, actually in the hall where we're having the service. And like, it's almost guaranteed some days, if I've not been keeping myself in the truth, if I've let myself slip a bit in standing firm in Christ, I stand there and like, sometimes I don't find it easy to pray. And like when you've got the whole people really going for it behind and around you, praying out and praying for the nation, and I'm standing there thinking, God, I don't know how to pray. And then as soon as you give him the enemy one little thing to stand on in you, he comes in and bombards you with, You shouldn't get up there leading worship. You can't even pray. What do you think you can do up there? Do you know what I mean? It's like once you give him a chance, he's in with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And like in the sometimes I've just stood there and I've been crying. Colin can vouch because sometimes he's just, bless him, he's so patient with me, you know. But sometimes I'm standing there in a heap 2 minutes before having to lead worship with 300 or 400 people in the place. And some, more often than not, God and the people around me have, you know, the people around me have prayed for me, like the worship team have come around me and prayed and just sort of spoken the truth into me. Or sometimes even Colin Urquhart sees and comes over and sort of speaks the truth to me, you know, to build me up, to show me that it's not of myself, it's grace. And you know, however I'm feeling doesn't change God's perception of me, you know. There's no matter what I do or don't do doesn't change the circumstances that, you know, that I'm standing in his grace and he does it. And there's one particular time, it was about a year or so ago when I wasn't quite, I hadn't matured so much, I suppose, you know, because we all mature, don't we? And we learn. And it's like little kids growing up. We're all little kids. But I was struggling with a particular battle and I even went running out of the meeting. I was just struggling so much that the enemy actually succeeded in getting me out of the meeting, and I was just so irresponsible, I just left, went and hid in a room, and this was like 5 minutes before the main Tuesday night meeting. And but this is how, you see, he wants to rob us, and he wants to rob the congregation of what the Lord wants to do through you. And on that particular occasion, the enemy had the victory, because I went running out, Colin came running after me, and ended up with Colin and I having a Barney and like causing friction between our marriage. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord, there was another chap there that could lead the praise and worship, so it wasn't, the whole meeting wasn't ruined or anything, but it was very irresponsible of me. And that particular instance showed me how the enemy just wants to rob, you know, not just me, but the congregation. And he wants just to cause destruction everywhere. So it's very important that we've got to stand on the truth. And at those times when the attacks come, we need to know how to fight it, how to stand firm, you know. It's funny I should be standing here talking about this because, you know, the Lord uses our weaknesses, doesn't he? And you know, you feel a bit stupid talking about standing firm when that's the last thing you seem to do sometimes. But I'm learning. And, you know, that's what the Christian life's all about, is developing. You know, each day the Lord is teaching us more and more. And I'm just standing here saying that, you know, okay, God's got me to lead worship. And I've just found myself doing it. It's something you can't appoint yourself to do. You just find that God puts you there. And it's not really a desirable position because you're in the front line. Satan hates the worship of God. His goal is to steer and lure us away from worshipping the Lord. His tactics are to draw us away from focusing on God and to focus on ourselves and our weaknesses. So remember that. We mustn't be unaware of his tactics, eh? Right, being in the position of leading worship, as I just said, is a frontline area. We're in a battle, aren't we? The Bible often says things like, you know, we're in a battle and we're in the front line, and I'm not a preacher. You can't hide at the back keep calm, Carol. You can't hide at the back of the troops. You're in full view of everyone, including the enemy. Okay, you're standing in front of a physical congregation. You can't hide. You need to be bold. You need to be confident in the Lord mainly. But in the spiritual sense, you're in the front line. The enemy rings the bell in hell when you start worshipping and praising the Lord. You know, he doesn't like it. So you can't afford to let your defences down. God has given us the armour to protect us from every evil attack so that we can stand firm on the evil day. We have a responsibility. We need to keep strong and faithful in what God has called us to do. We need to stand firm in the truth of who we are in Christ, to know the truth that sets us free, to have the word in our mouth, which acts as a sharp two-edged sword to attack and cut back the enemy's lies, to always be holding on to the shield of faith, which believes what God says and not what our feelings or circumstances say. So Many of you probably will have already heard all this, as I say, about living in Christ. Has anybody not ever heard about the in Christ bit, that we're in Christ? Because some, you know, not everyone gets this teaching, so I was just... Well, I'm still going to tell you. So. You haven't got out of it. I'm just going to, you know, go over it again just to refresh it in our minds so that we can be built up, so that in turn we can build others up. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's great, isn't it? And Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you. So those times when you feel like he's not in you, when the old enemy's having a go, you can say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, bog off. Christ is in me. He will never leave me or forsake me. Okay? You can speak to the devil like that because he's under your feet. And you need to believe it. We don't give him any respect. We believe the Christians that say, oh, we've got to respect the devil. They're frightened of him. We don't respect the devil. He's defeated. But you've got to know who you are in Christ before you talk like that about him. You know, you mustn't be foolish, but, you know, when you know who you are in Christ, you know your authority in God. I've got some pages to give out to you, actually, just for you to take home and to study. Can you give those out for me, Shazba, or somebody, a couple of you? I'll carry on talking while they're going out. To live in Christ is to live in God. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. These are just scriptures affirming who we are. The gift of the Holy Spirit, okay, is evidence of God's acceptance and of the believer's position in him. Faith in Jesus as the Son of God leads to this position. So we've all got the Holy Spirit, haven't we? So we can know for sure that Christ is in us. That's our guarantee of our inheritance, of what we've got to come. So again, you know, the days when you're not feeling like you're in Christ, you can say, I am in Christ because I have the Holy Spirit and Jesus has come to live in me. I just, you know, this is just ammunition that you can fire at the enemy. God has put you in Christ. The scripture says it is because of him, because of God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So Jesus has become our righteousness, our holiness, and we are in Jesus, okay? So you are righteous in Christ. You are holy in him. You are redeemed. That's the truth. No matter how you feel, no matter what you haven't done or you have done spiritually, you know, that's the truth. Now, this, when I first heard this particular next point, it really freed me. It was the most important thing I've learned since I've been with Kingdom Faith, about position and performance. You know, it's obvious that God has given us a new position in Christ. The scripture says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are, not we will be or we have been. We are. We are now, continually in the Spirit. We can't really understand it, can we? But by faith, we believe what the Word says, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And it's obvious that our performance very often doesn't match our position. Well, actually, it never does match our position. You know, our personal achievements in the body and stuff, we never actually make our position. Do you know what I mean? Colin Urquhart, just put that there. He gave us a, you know, he'd draw it on the board. Oh, I'll draw it. Have we got a thing to draw on the board? Thank you. It's funny being a teacher, isn't it? Okay. Okay, this is our position in Christ. Thank you. It's hard writing on a board too. This is our position in heavenly places. It's great. Now, performance. Okay. It's here, right? Now our performance, depending on how we are spiritually, sort of sometimes goes, ooh, on a good week, but then, you know, Sometimes it's right down here. And then... do you know what I mean? It's up and down like a blimmin' yo-yo. Well, mine is.
Yes.
And I'm being honest with you because I'm no different to you lot. Just because I lead worship maybe a bit more often, but there's no difference. So, let's come back to my notes. It's obvious that our performance doesn't match our position. But we mustn't be discouraged by this. Understand your position and your performance will improve.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, ignorance of your position will inevitably lead to failure and defeat. If you don't keep looking up to the truth, to your position in Christ, then you're going to continue to look at your performance and be deflated and defeated all the time. Galatians 2:20 says, "The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, the life that we're living, we must live by faith. And by faith means to believe God's word, to believe all that Jesus told us to do. Our whole life is to be a walk of faith. Faith in believing all that Jesus has done, believing that he loves us. If he loved us enough to die for us when we were still sinners, how much more does he love us now that we've chosen to believe in him? Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? But if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You know, these are good scriptural examples of truth to get into your heart and your life. Learn the scriptures which tell you of who you are in Christ. Let them sink deep into your innermost being. Let them become rooted and established in your heart. You know, we've got a job to do and a responsibility to... you know, to be ahead, as Jared said, to be ahead of the people, to know the scriptures, you know, to have them in your heart and in your mind and in your mouth, ready to attack when the enemy comes. And it's something that we've all got to work at. I've got to work at it. I've got to learn to be more diligent, to learn the scriptures that I can use against the enemy. And scriptures I can use to build others up, to build myself up in the truth. You know, we're not just there to sing songs. Okay, we're there to be leaders and to be a good example in our spiritual lives. I've put this as a foundation that Jesus talks about in the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Both builders heard the word, but one chose not to put it into practice. One chose not to store them in his heart. The one wasn't diligent to remember what he'd heard. And when the time of storm and battle arose, great was the fall of his house. Okay, the times when I've let the enemy defeat me, my house fell because I didn't stand on the word. But the times that I didn't let him overcome me, I had victory because I got up on the stage and I did what God had called me to do, no matter how I felt, knowing that God was faithful. So in applying this to our lives, we see that our position in Christ and all that the word has to say about us is the truth. Our circumstances and so often our feelings seem to contradict the truth. But we need at those times to remember to hold out the shield of faith and to believe God's word above all else. If you trust in yourself, you will fail. But if you trust in him, he will enable you to overcome. When the enemy tries to knock your house down just before the service or other important event, then if you've been diligent and faithful to store God's word in your heart by speaking out the truth as a sword to attack and by raising the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts, you can know the victory of a house that will stand because it has been built on solid rock, our solid rock, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, it's good stuff. Now, I've given you... a sheet there, which hopefully you're going to use, take it home and use it and learn all these things that you are in Christ. You are a new creation, you're reconciled to God, you've been given fullness in Christ, you've been enriched in every way, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, you've been chosen in him, you've been raised with Christ, you've been saved by grace, you were created in Christ to do good works, you've been made holy, made perfect, you've been justified, you belong to God, you're being built with others into the Lord's dwelling place, you belong to the others. That's something... The Lord's been speaking to me a lot about about relationships, you know, with other people, especially in the worship group. I'll be talking a bit about that in a minute. You're a son of God. You've been clothed with Christ. All these things are good to get into your heart, okay? So use this. And you can even do Bible studies to actually look out more of who you are in Christ. These are just a few. There's many, many more in the Bible. And, you know, and these little things are things that you can speak out in times of praise and worship when you feel the people are not quite there, to encourage them, to tell them the truth of who they are. So it's very good stuff. And then over the page, just some more scriptures. You can look up in your own time about living in the good of your position, and then the fruit of obedience. So just use that as a little bit of follow-up to build yourselves up in the truth, okay? I'm still okay for time, eh? I've only been doing a few minutes, haven't I? Never mind. So it's really good when you do find that the truth works, you know. I've often been quite shocked at how powerful it is, just somebody standing and speaking the truth when you're in an attack, just speaking the truth. And if you set your heart to believe it, it really does work. It brings you out of the negativity. And, you know, the best thing you can do to someone, if they're being negative, is to not sympathise with them and say, "They're there, yes, yes, I know how you're feeling." The best thing you can do is, you know, say, "Oh, if someone's saying, oh, I'm no good, I'm blimmin' no good, I'm never going to do this," you say, "Yes, that's right, you are no good." It's because if you pander to their soul, you're not going to help them. But yes, you are no good, but in Christ, you've been, you know, God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. It might sound super spiritual to say that, but you're not, you're being just wise, and you're being the most loving to that person by speaking the truth. I mean, just after Christmas, I went through a right time of being so negative. It's a wonder I didn't get chucked out of the house. I was really, I was a bit poorly. I had like the flu, and you know, when you're real, it's hard to sometimes stand, isn't it, and fight. And I got so negative, but like both Colin and Heather, who lives with us, it makes you sick really, because the last thing you want to hear is the truth. But like, they just kept speaking the truth, you know, against every negative thing I said, they just spoke the truth. And like, at first you think, "Oh, I wish they'd stop telling me the truth," but after a while it works. And you think, yes, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been stupid, I've been looking at myself again, I've been looking at my, you know, lack of performance, and thank you that, yes, I come to you again, and knowing that your grace is sufficient for me. So it's just a little addition thing there. But going back to being praise leaders, there's several areas that we need to be watchful for. Because, as I said, we're in a prime target, and the enemy, if he can't get you with your spiritual, you know, your spiritual life, how you know, if you're doing quite well at standing firm in your position and you know who you are in Christ, then he's going to try and come and attack you in other ways, because he never gives up. It's a real shame that he never has a holiday, but it's the truth. Because you know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it said the devil went away and waited for an opportune time. So, unfortunately, he's always going to try and come back at you from a different angle. So, as worship, as praise leaders, I just want to say for you to be careful in certain areas. The first area is pride. Sometimes musicians are a sort of a breed in themselves, aren't they? I've never seemed to have been a proper musician, because I was never like into music. Do you know, some people are really into things, aren't they? Like, they won't go anywhere without taking their instrument. They won't, you know, if their instrument's here, they don't want to leave it alone. They always want to be playing or doing something with it. And I think you just need to watch out that your instrument or your gifting doesn't become an idol. Because it can do. You need to have the right attitude to it and realise what God's given it you for. I mean, sometimes I hardly ever play my guitar. Sometimes I hardly ever do. I used to much more when it was just a hobby. Now it's more like a... Well, it's not like a job as such, but do you know what I mean? It changes, doesn't it, when you... But I mean, sometimes I do pick it up and have a nice old worship time, but do you know what I'm trying to say? Some people are always on their instrument. They want to be, always be playing in front of people. So just watch out for that with your musical things. But also pride, being in a frontline position, you're in front of people and you tend to get a lot of attention from people, and people come up and say nice things sometimes, you know, oh, that was lovely praise or lovely worship, or oh, I really felt the Lord. And you've just got to remember that God's put you there, and just always redirect any praise to the Lord. You know, if people come up to me and say, oh, yes, that was lovely, I say, well, praise God. Thank you, Father, that you worked tonight. I try not to ever think, oh, yes, it's me that's done it, you know, because it's so easy to get proud. It's a very subtle thing. And that's what Satan, obviously, he got proud in his heart, and the first hint of pride, and he got chucked out of heaven. So God hates pride. You know, if anything, stay humble, and then he will exalt you. I've put, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You've got to take every thought captive. If you ever get, sometimes, I mean, we get attacked even when we're leading worship. I don't know if any of you have ever had this, you know, you're leading worship and the people are really going for it, and sometimes you sort of, you get this little thought thinking, you're doing well. Look at them. It's true though, have you ever had that? He's very subtle, and like, even at those times when you're in the middle of praise, you've got to say, thank you, Lord, it's you know. It's not me. Not really a good ventriloquist, but, you know, in your mind, you have to take every thought captive, even when you're worshipping the Lord sometimes, and the enemy would seek to just sow pride, and yes, you're a wonderful worship leader, look at them all. It's nothing to do with us. Okay, we're open vessels for the Lord to use. But it's God, and you need to always thank God and keep humble. So always redirect compliments on any praise that you may get to God. Never think, I'm doing pretty well. As it says in Proverbs, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, someone else, and not your own lips, okay? Having a public ministry such as this often draws people to you. Just always be conscious that you're only there through God's enabling. If any pride begins to creep in, watch out, because God has his ways of humbling us. It's true. Can I have a drink of water? Oh, this is my little glass down there. Just have a slurp because it's a bit... Thank you. Praise the Lord. You're being very good. Submission's another area. Oh, have I been speaking for that long? Remember that you're subject to the pastor and the leadership, okay? You were there to support him and to help the meetings to flow in the Spirit. Watch out for rebellion, which can be very subtle, i.e. you carry on singing, even though the pastor's told you to wind it up. You know, you think, oh, the worship, you know, it's not time to finish the worship yet. But even though he's told you to wind it up, or, indicated, thank you. Even if he's indicated to you to wind it up and you carry on, in a way that's rebellion, because you're thinking, I'm going to do my own thing. You know, you mustn't do that. Even if, in your opinion, you think he's out of the Spirit, if he's the leader and he's, you know, saying to do something, then we need to be submissive. And, you know, we just all need to learn. You know, okay, the most godly men sometimes do miss it in the Spirit. You know, we're all human. So even if, in your opinion, you think he's out of the Spirit, you still need to obey what he's saying, however hard it might be, you know. And I can appreciate in some churches where the leadership maybe haven't got such a vision for worship, for praise, then that might be quite difficult. But you know, God has set a certain order, and we need to just obey that and be submissive. And God will, he'll reward your obedience, you know, he will. That's right, I've put, remember that we're all subject to mistakes at times, but God is very gracious with us, so we must be gracious to others, even the leaders, if you think they're wrong. That's just a little bit on submission. Because sometimes worship leaders think they're the bee's knees, don't they? You know, some think, oh, I'm here, and while I'm on, I'm in charge, sort of thing. But we just need to remember to be submissive. Now, a thing I mentioned a bit earlier about relationships in the group. If you're part of a group in worship, it's really, the Lord's really been talking to me and showing me how precious it is to have good relationships within the worship team, within the praise team. If the atmosphere between people on the platform is strained and tense, then you can be sure that the praise will be hindered. It will be lifeless and disjointed and certainly won't flow as the Spirit desires. You can't have bad feeling amongst your worship team. It's got to be united, you know, and you need to work. If you're the actual group leader, then you need to ensure that everything's flowing smoothly relationship-wise. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to discipline people or to be open with people, but as leaders you need to be able to do that lovingly and point out lovingly, you know, where you see problems arising. There's no room for egos, okay, in a worship group. God calls us to dwell together in unity, to esteem others as better than ourselves, to look out not only for our own interests but also for the interests of others. You know, even if you're the anointed praise leader, you mustn't think of yourself better than the ones that are just playing a tambourine or putting on the acetate. See, even the acetate lady or man is just as important. And I think at the beginning, I had the... God, I praise the Lord because He just matures us slowly and shows us what's in our heart, doesn't He? I think at the very beginning, even I thought, you know, I'm more important than the other people just accompanying me. But I praise the Lord that He's been working in my heart and showing me. And I know that I need the others just as much, you know. So just watch out that you don't get an ego thinking that you're the more important person just because you lead the praise. Because God has placed us in the body to work together. And it's in that He'll be glorified as people see the unity, you know. We need each other. God has placed us into a body, all with different functions. And no one is any less important than anyone else. Yeah, I've grown to love the people in our worship group. They're a great bunch. They're all so humble and gracious. There isn't any egotists or, you know, flashy players. You know what I mean? They're all competent, some of them more than others. But, I don't know, God's just given us something really precious. I miss them when they're not with us, you know. I really do miss them. When we have to go out with Colin on our own, it's just me and Colin, that other Colin, my hubby bun. I really do enjoy it when we get back to Roffey and we've got all the band together. It's because it's just great being together doing what God's called us to do. Yeah, I've put that God's given us something really precious with them. They're musicians and singers who are not self-seeking, not egotists, but people who are humble and gracious and very faithful in serving the Lord with their giftings. And that's the sort of people that you want to look out for when you're seeking people to come into your group. You know, it's very tempting in some churches, if you're desperate for singers or musicians, it's very tempting, the first one that comes along, say, yes, we'll have them, without even finding out how they are spiritually, how they are musically even. I mean, at the moment we're in a situation where we really need another bass player, because poor Franco is getting overworked because we have 3 services on a Sunday, you know, and it's quite a lot of work. A chap has come up to us who's recently come to the church. It hasn't been saved that long, I don't think, but, you know, it's very tempting to say, yes, okay, come in, we'll have you, but like, we need wisdom to know who, when and how to bring him into the group. So just be aware of that, not to be so desperate for people that you just have anyone. You need to check that they're called of the Lord, you know, and that they have the right attitude in their heart. That's just an extra little bit to put in. Yeah, I thought that us as a group down at Roffey often laugh and smile at each other on the platform, you know. Like, I've got my own little signals to sort of show them where I'm going. Like, if I'm going up a key, I go... And if one of them hasn't seen me, I have to keep going. But we have such a laugh. It's really good. And so that, in turn, releases a joyful atmosphere. You know, we've got a joyful atmosphere on the stage, and so... it just spreads, you know, and people, you know, like, I mean, you don't want to draw attention to yourself by obviously making so many funny faces to your band that people start laughing at you, but it's good to have, what I'm trying to say is a good atmosphere between the group will spread, you know, it's what you've got will spread to the congregation. They can see where brothers are dwelling together in unity. Guess where this is from? How good it is, and how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. That's Psalm 133. That's a good description, you know, of us as a praise team in together in unity, and like the anointing can just pour down and pour across the congregation, and God bestows his blessings on that. The enemy for sure will be looking for ways to cause disunity and discord, so always be on your guard against rivalry in the group, jealousy, critical spirits, misunderstandings and differences of opinions, especially musical opinions as well, because we're all so different style-wise and stuff, and it's so easy to think, I want it my way, you know. But just look out for those areas. Always be walking in the light with each other. Expose any of these things by going to the particular individual that you're having the problem with and tell them. If you've been feeling jealous of another's giftings, bring it to the light by admitting it to them and pray together against it. Now, I had to do this not so long ago with our other worship leader down there. Great guy. But the enemy was just trying to cause rivalry. Not rivalry as such, but it was hard to describe. But like when he was leading, you know, the enemy, it's like, sometimes I think, oh, he's more anointed than me, you know, or it's never that good when I'm on. Do you know what I mean? It's like trying to sever our relationship by causing sort of jealousy, and I knew that he was getting the same thing. You know, it's like an insecurity in your gifting and stuff. And I thought, I'm not having this, enemy. And it'd been happening for a couple of weeks, and a part of me was scared to go up to him in case he thought, oh, she must have always been like that, because I hadn't. It's just something that was starting to attack me. But I really felt the Lord, you know, say, yeah, you've got to bring this out into the open. And so I went up to him and I just explained how I'd been feeling. And he said that he'd been feeling the same. So I said, right, come on, let's pray and come against this together. And so we did. And I've not had the problem since. So that's an example of, it might be hard to actually go up to a person and admit, you know, to sort of, to be open to that person about how you've been feeling, because it shows a weakness in yourself. But, you know, the truth is, we've been crucified anyway. We've been crucified in Christ, so we shouldn't be afraid of what other people would think of us. And we just need to be truthful, walk in the light with each other. It's very, very important, because, you know, if the enemy can get in and cause jealousies and contentions, then it will really affect the whole impact of the worship team, of the praise team. And, I mean, it's a wonderful thing when you can be with a group of people and know that there's nothing between you, you know, and it really has an effect. So strive for that, you know. It's very important. And, you know, I might have, there might be a few things that you're thinking, oh, I need to sort that out. Go and sort it out when you get back. Do that. It's very important. Don't be afraid of what they think of you, because, you know, it's what God thinks of you that's more important. He knows what's in your heart. Just to finish off, I've got some practical rules for building relationships. Okay, so number one, always maintain an attitude of humility, meekness, patience, and forbearance. Should we look at Ephesians 4, verse 2? Can you pass my Bible, mate? Thanks. Yeah, that one. This is the NIV. Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay, so make that a rule for yourself and your worship team and your praise team, to be completely humble and patient with each other, bearing with one another in love, to keep the unity, make an effort to keep the unity. Okay, point A of the first point. Number one is maintain an attitude of humility. Then A, humility means that we are prepared to do anything necessary to make matters right with others, even when we've sinned against them or hurt them. Okay, that's what humility is. Meekness means not insisting on doing things our way or pushing ourselves forward. Patience, we need to wait for others lovingly, even when they're wrong. That's hard, isn't it? So tempting to say, you're wrong. But we need to wait even though they are wrong. Forbearance means we help others when they are weak. There'll probably be a lot of that within the team, you know. I love the way the Lord works it out. It's never that we're all down at the same time, you know. But like in a marriage, I'm up. Connor's actually never down. He was always stubborn. But sometimes I can encourage him, I suppose. You know, but well, anyway, when I'm down, Honey Bun sort of lifts me up, and it's like that in our worship groups and with our relationships with brothers and sisters in general. You know, if one of us is down, you can be sure that the other one will be up, and vice versa. So it's great the way the Lord works that out. We are to speak the truth in love. So speak the truth, be direct, forthright, and honest. We need to speak the truth in love, not in anger or bitterness or unkindness, but in God's timing. You know, like those times where you need to approach someone and where you've seen a particular attitude, like as the leader I'm talking about, and you know that it needs to be come against and brought into the light. You need to do it in love and to pray for the Lord to reveal the right time to approach that person, waiting for him to prepare their hearts of what you're going to speak. And only speak that which edifies, only that which is positive and helpful. Sometimes if we're blatantly honest with someone, it can cause hurt and devastation. Honesty without wisdom can be sin. Okay, so we need the Lord's wisdom. Even when we've got to be honest with someone, we need to know the wise way to say it in love. Not to slam them, but to edify them, to build them up, to encourage them that, you know, they can overcome it. Get rid of any critical spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander. That's Ephesians 4:31. The root of all these is a critical spirit. One of the greatest enemies of unity. Critical spirit is the greatest enemy of unity. So easy to be critical. Easier to be critical than to be positive, isn't it, sometimes? Do you find it easier to criticise?
Yeah.
I know I have done. Repeating people's faults and sins to others is classified as a sin in the Bible, as it spreads mistrust and encourages division. It's true, isn't it? I know if I've heard any little thing about someone, it makes you think, oh. And even though you might not want to think about it, it comes back time and time again when that person's name's mentioned. So we need to keep our guard over our mouths, you know. Don't repeat people's faults. It's poison that can quickly infect the whole body. That's so true. I'm learning. I've got to speak good things with this tongue of mine. It's like a rudder. I've got to keep hold of it, point it in the right direction. It's wet as well. So be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Okay. There is no problem of disunity that cannot be solved by greater humility and forgiveness. There's no problem that can't be solved without greater humility and forgiveness. Sorry, by greater humility, not without it. So we can solve any problem by greater humility on our part even, and forgiveness and more forgiveness. Lastly, acknowledge that we belong to each other. As I've said before, you're not there as a one-man show. You're there as a body to give glory to God as you work together. We are co-heirs of his grace. We're all, you know, under God's grace. And God doesn't think any more of you just because you're a great praise leader than he does of the tambourine player, you know. So, lastly, on this note, be filled with the Spirit. It's a good rule for this. Be filled with the Spirit. Worship the Lord. Encourage one another. And always in everything, give thanks to God the Father. That's Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Let's just look at that. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's a good start. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I think that's the line to sum it all up. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So you can be sure if you put all these principles into practice, you'll have a wonderful praise team that will really radiate the joy of the Lord, and your church will benefit from it greatly, and so will your leaders, and you'll show that you're Christ's disciples by your love for one another. Amen. As you stand firm in the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Bless you all.